Now, live from Stockholm, transcribed. Tired of the everyday routine. Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Fun to get away from it all? The author here escapes! Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Tonight we escape to the Old West, to an innocent game of chance in which fate deals violence and doom, as Stephen Crane tells it in his story, The Blue Hotel. Act one of the Blue Hotel.
The Palace Hotel's the first thing you see when you come into Fort Rumpel, Nebraska. It's painted blue. Now, you'd expect it to be brown or red or dark green like all the other buildings stuck out there in the middle of the prairie. But the man that built it decided on blue, and blue it was. At least when I was there. Now, the color isn't so important, but what happened there is important. It's important to you and me, and any man who ever wondered about the upside-downness of creation, about right and wrong in a mad, crazy world. When I was in Fort Rumpel, I saw a coward looking for courage. And you know what happened to him? He died. There were five of us in on it. One fellow was a big cowboy whose real name was Bill. Another was a gambler whose name I don't recollect. And then there was Pat Scully and his son Yonny. They ran the Palace Hotel, the Blue Hotel. And last, of course, there was me. I'm a little man. My name is Blank. They call me the Easterner.
Johnny! Yeah, Pa?
Take these gentlemen back up to their rooms.
Right in there, Pa.
Miss Johnny, man. Now then, just clean up right there and make yourselves to home.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the key to your room, Mr. Blank, through that door.
Thanks, Mr. Scully.
And yours, sir, right next to him.
Yes, sir, thanks, Mighty.
And here's yours, top of the stairs.
Hi.
Eh?
The others are on this floor, close to the stove. Why am I up above?
Oh, there's a good stove up there, too. Don't worry. Keep it. It goes all night. You won't be cold.
Thank you.
Well, I'll go help you on with them bags. Be back in a few minutes.
My name's Bill. Everybody calls me Cowboy. Heard them call you Mr. Blank.
Nice to meet you, Bill.
Well, I'm going out to a ranch near the Dakota line, punching cows.
On my way to the West Coast myself.
How about you, stranger?
I'm a terror. I am from New York City.
Oh, tyranny. Now that's a mighty interesting line of work for a man to get into. Tyranny to New York City, did you?
I work there 14 years.
First trip west?
It is my first time away from New York. I have heard that some of these western communities are very dangerous.
Oh, well, not any more than any place else. You ain't scared of getting killed, are you?
Excuse me, please. I think I go to my room now.
Hey, he's a queer one. But do you reckon he is, Mr. Blank, a Swede?
I'd say so.
Well, not a very friendly critter, is he?
After dinner, when we were all settled around the stove, the Swede stood near the window, watching the storm outside, silent and away from everybody. By this time, we all wondered what ailed him.
How about some cards?
Swell idea.
All right with me.
Hey, you stranger, how about it? Want to play some cards?
Oh, why not?
There it is.
Two of spades.
You next.
I have a five of hearts.
Then I'll be danged.
Four of spades. I got a ten of spades.
You deal, Yanni. Here we go.
Let's see what you got here.
When Desvide sat down, it was all as though he expected to be assaulted. He would break out in that nervous laugh every few minutes. At first it bothered us, but after a while everybody got interested in the game and forgot about the manners of Desvide.
Ten and king.
You sure had them that time. I don't know you, Mani.
I suppose there have been a good many men killed in this room.
What are you talking about, mister?
You know what I mean, all right.
I'm a liar for you.
What's wrong with you, mister?
They say they don't know what I mean.
I don't understand you either.
Oh, I see you're against me.
What?
I see.
But you get in, Ed. Let's take that again.
Oh, I see you're all against me. I see.
What are you talking about, mister?
I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight.
Well, who thought you did, anyway?
These men are going to kill me.
Did you? Did you? What are you talking about, mister?
What is this, Yanni?
I don't know, Pa. He's crazy, I guess.
Oh, I know. I know what will happen. I know. I won't get out of here alive.
I'm doggoned if they don't beat all.
You've been troubling this man, Yanni.
Pa ain't done nothing to him.
Look, if anybody has trouble here, don't worry. I'll take care of him. This is my house. You're under my roof. I will not allow any peaceable man to be troubled here. Do all of you understand that?
Oh, never mind, Mr. Scully. Never mind. I will go away. I do not wish
to... Wait, just a minute.
I didn't see anything wrong at all, Mr. Scully.
Well, I'll get to the bottom of this, I assure you.
That's the doggone Swede I ever saw. What do you think makes him act that way?
I don't know. But it seems to me this man has been reading some dime novel and thinks he's right in the middle of it, the shooting and stabbing and all.
Well, this is early Nebraska. Wait till he gets out west.
Oh, it is indifferent there, even not these days.
Well, it's awful funny.
Yoni and the cowboy and I took our places by the stove, wondering what might be going on upstairs between Scully and the Swede. Outside, the storm was still howling and wailing around the hotel. After a while, we stopped talking and used to listen to it. Then...
He'll be danged.
Well, what do you suppose he said to him?
I have no idea.
Well, let's see now. Let's get up close to the stove. Move over, move over. It's cold. Come on, move, move. Yanni, don't you hear your pa?
Yeah.
Well, come on, get over there.
Plenty of room on the other side of the stove.
Oh, wait, the boy, see the way he writes.
All right, all right.
Mr. Scurry showed me a picture of his youngest daughter, Carrie. She is very nice for this part of the country. I was also rewarded with a history of the Scurry family since settling here. A very ignominious event, in my opinion.
What's funny?
All of it. Everything. The entire thing.
Pa, this Swede is carrying on like he owned the place now.
Shut up, Yanni.
I am thirsty.
Then I'll get you a drink of water.
No. I get it myself.
It was only that he was from the east, and he thought that this was a tough place. That's all. He's all right now.
Well, he may be all right now, but I don't see it. Other time he was scared, but now he's too fresh.
Now, what do I keep here, huh? What do I keep here? I'll tell you, I keep a hotel. That's what I keep. Now, a guest under my roof has sacred privileges. And not one word shall be heard that would prejudice him in favor of going away. I will not have it. There is no place in this here town where they can say that they ever took in a guest of mine because he was afraid to stay here. Am I right?
Yes, Mr. Scully, I think you're right.
I think you're right, Mr. Scully.
Well, Yarny?
I got nothing to say, Pa.
Ooh, you make me so mad.
Everyone knew it was working up to something. We didn't know that. When this weed came back, he fizzed like a fire wheel. He looked from one to the other, hating us and putting questions to us as fast as he could think of them. Yonny Scully hated right back.
Oh, let's try the cards again, huh? Mr. Scully. Mr. Scully. let's try the cards again, huh? Mr. Scully.
Well, I don't think really.
Mr. Scully. You want your guests to be happy, don't you? You man, I'm going to Dakota.
Well, if the others want to play, mister, I'll play.
And quiet watch for Mr. Blank.
I'll play.
Yak.
Jean.
And Dean.
Yes.
I got one too. Ace.
Very rocky.
My turn again. Six.
Seven of hearts.
I got another queen.
Good boy.
A king at this time.
Well, boys, you can wait. I got one more ace.
Oh, a jeepy.
What is that?
Just stop it.
I warned you. Now stop it.
I won't allow any man to say I cheated. If he says I cheated, he's a dirty liar.
Now, quit now. Do you hear me?
Oh, he did cheat. I saw him.
I don't mind any man who says I cheat. Did you say I cheated?
Yes. You cheated.
Read your heart.
Hold it. I can't put up with you any longer. I've stood this feet as long as I can. We'll take him outside and we'll let him fight it over.
You're listening to Escape. Now, Act 2 of the Blue Hotel. You're listening to Escape. Now, Act 2 of the Blue Hotel.
You're all a jump on me. I can't reach you all.
Now you listen to me, mister. You will not have to whip all of us. You only have to whip my son, Yarny. And the man that troubles you during that time, well, he will have to deal with me.
I don't believe you. I don't believe any of you.
Now you can take it or you can leave it. That's what you can do. It's the truth. Now, just outside the door, there's a flat place under the overhang. Now, when we go out, I'll leave the door open so that the light will come in from the room. You stay in the light. You got that? Stay in the light. I don't want anybody getting lost in this kind of storm. Well, we are set, boys.
Yes, you.
Yes.
You, mister?
Yes, but...
The man told you nobody's going to jump you. Just get out there and fight. You've been wanting to ever since you came here.
Leave him alone, cowboy. But let's go. No!
The fight lasted almost a half an hour. Out here on the frozen ground, they rolled and pitched and struck at each other and fell and rose to do it all over again, grunting, clawing, screaming with rage and hurt, while Scully and the cowboy and I watched. Sometimes there was no way to tell who was down and who was up, and I could only try to find out how it was going and long for the end, the priceless end of this senseless thing. It happened when Yonny staggered backward and fell off across the open doorway, his face a raw, pulpy sight.
No, you don't, mister. You just wait a minute. See if he can get up.
Let me get to me inside, Mr. Blank.
Yeah.
Would you please close the door? Everybody in. Johnny, my boy.
Ha.
Johnny, can you go on, get it, Johnny?
For sure.
Wait a minute, Johnny, wait till you get your wind.
Well, you just keep your hands off him, mister, till he gets on his feet.
I'll take care of him. All right.
This is enough. Let it go as it stands. This is enough.
As long as I can move, I'll fight him.
Mr. Scully.
Let him be. Son, are you any good yet?
Oh, I ain't any good anymore. He was too heavy for me.
Stranger, he threw up with our side. Your knee is whipped.
The Swede went upstairs to his room. We carried Johnny to the rear of the house, where his two sisters began to work on his cut and bleeding face. They shooed us away, and there was nothing to do but go and sit around his stove once more. It was a long time before anybody talked.
Well, I'd like to fight this here Dutchman myself.
No, it won't be. Wouldn't be right, cowboy. It was Johnny's fight, and now we mustn't whip the man just because he whipped Johnny.
Yeah, sure, that's true enough, but he'd better not get fresh with me when he comes back down, because I
can't... You will not say a word to him.
Well, well.
You want to tell me how much I owe you?
You owe me nothing.
Nothing here.
It is what he said, stranger. Nothing. And the boy's 40 pounds under you. You haven't anything to be so frisky about.
Now stop. You don't owe me anything.
I guess you're right. I guess if it was any way at all, you'd owe me something. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him.
That was a pretty hard minute for me to take.
For any of us to take, Mr. Scully.
One bang on his face be worth $100 to me. But it wouldn't be right.
Well, I'd like to take that Swede. I'd like to take him and beat him into the ground.
That's the last time any of us heard the Swede. But remember, besides Johnny and Pat Scully, the cowboy and myself, there was another man in on what happened. The gambler. He was playing cards in a saloon down the street that night. We heard about it later. What happened when the Swede stopped in the saloon?
Oh, it's a pretty bad night.
Oh, yes.
All right.
But it's good enough for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I like this one. Here it is.
Did you hold still? Yeah. So I get for you a drink. There you go. Well?
Well, I guess I'll have another drink.
Oh, there you go. Say, mister, how did you cut your face?
I just beat up a man down there at Scully's Hotel.
Did you beat up, mister?
Johnny Scully, son of the man who answered. You don't know I beat him up for a long time to come. I made a good job of it, all right. I had to carry him away after I finished with him. Have a drink?
No, thanks. Your dear Jim.
All right.
Well, then, Why don't you have one?
I'm not drinking these days, mister.
I have lived a man tonight. I lived a man tonight, and I want to celebrate. I lived him a good. Gentlemen, I want you all to have a drink. Well?
No, thanks. I don't want one right now.
Well, it seems to me I can't get anybody to drink with me in this town.
Yes, the gentlemen are playing cards and don't want to be disturbed.
You get your hands off of me. Don't try to shut me up. I want you to drink with me. And I want you to drink right now. Do you understand? You? Do you understand? I ask you to do what you do because I hurt a man.
Oh, okay. Make ring.
I don't know you.
Oh, come on. Have a drink.
Take your hand off my shoulder.
I'll make you a drink.
Yes, he's an egg.
On your feet, you are a
You killed him.
He's dead, and I'm getting out of here.
Here in the reef?
Yeah?
I'm going now. You tell them where to find me. I'll be at home waiting for them.
A few months later, I ran into the cowboy up near the Dakota line. Strangely enough, in a hotel. We ate together, and then after dinner, we sat down and began talking. The last thing we got around to was this weed.
Well, what happened, Mr. Blank?
The man who was killed got 3 years. It was a light sentence. Everybody was on the gambler's side back in Fort Rumper.
Well, if that bartender had been any good, he'd have gone and had cracked that crazy seed over the head with a bottle in the beginning and stopped all the murdering.
A thousand things could have happened.
Well, if that Swede hadn't said Johnny was cheating, he'd be alive this minute. He was an awful fool. Game played for fun, too, not for money. I believe he was crazy.
The Swede might not have been killed if everything had been square.
Now, what do you mean, if everything had been square? Why, when he said that Johnny was cheating, he acted like a yakass. And when he went to the saloon, he was just asking for trouble.
You're a fool, cowboy. I'm a fool. All of us.
What?
Johnny was cheating in that game.
Cheating for fun, why?
Oh, no, not. Johnny was cheating and I saw him. I knew it. And I refused to stand up and be a man. I let this weed fight it out alone. And you. You did the same thing. And Scully, too. We're all in it.
Well, the gambler knifed him.
The gambler. Every sin is the result of collaboration. The gambler did the killing, but it was the five of us that collaborated in the murder of that Swede. You, me, Johnny, Scully, and that gambler, who was merely a culmination, an apex of human movement, who takes the punishment now. You know it just as well as I do. We all know it.
But I didn't do anything, did I?
Exactly my point. None of us did anything.
Escape, under the direction of David L. Krebs, has brought you The Blue Hotel by Stephen Crane, adapted for radio by E. Yak Newman. Featured in the cast were Larry Moss as Scully, Stephen Batesel as Johnny, Dave Krebs as the cowboy, Ed Thomas as the Swede, and Dudley Knight as your narrator, Mr. Blank. The sound patterns was from the New Generation Players of the Stockholm Company, And next week, you are trapped in a lonely lighthouse off the steaming younger coast of French Guiana, which you are a wounded man, helpless and in agony, and a demented actor who is slowly losing his mind, outside, storming all over the place, clamoring to get in this ravenous army of huge rats from which there can be no escape. Join us next time for George Todo's hair-raising tale, The Skeleton Key, right here on Escape.